All right, we're plugged in for Friday, the 4th of August, 2023. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam here in Sydney, Australia. Nadine is jumping back on with me tonight. Finally, we've been here chatting for ages, Nadine. But we've finally started the podcast tonight, and we're just going to cover all the latest, eh? I haven't been able to get on my night watch the last few nights, but I have been covering some different things on that anyway. And but there's a few bits and pieces I wanted you to cover for us on the podcast tonight, and that I just didn't sort of have too much time to go into, and we'll discuss what that is. And I've just been looking at some of this pretty unbelievable information, to be honest, and it never stops. I can't get a day where I can have a rest. I think I'm going to have a rest today or tonight. And then by 7:38, there's just so much information being presented that I'm jumping on for my night watch. I even started another podcast called The Sledgehammer. I put people that I don't like under The Sledgehammer, and I covered Malcolm Turnbull and other things. That's for the Crass Files members. But so two podcasts up for the members, plus these. And always so much to that we're covering here. We've been going since 2015, doing the Crass Files podcast. And I even did it before that. I was on Conspiracy Oz with Mick over there, and even doing it with Garth, my dad. So we've been going for ages. But the website and Crass Files has been going since 2015. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool that we're still here today and being able to continue. No fancy studios. No fancy studios or anything. We are just brass knuckles here on the ground, real independent media. If Nadine wants to fucking swear, she will fucking swear. Whatever she wants to. We do whatever we want here. There's no problems there. But boy, there's a lot to discuss. Website going okay, Nadine. I've moved my members over to Buy Me a Coffee, as you know. It's the best way for people out there to support me here on the ground. I do it myself. I don't have pop-ups. I don't sell T-shirts. I don't have any of that. And a membership is just the best way to help me keep going here on the ground. And it goes directly to me. So the Crass Files members has moved to Buy Me a Coffee. And people will see the banners and stuff on the website. And as I said, for the members over there, I've got two podcasts with a new one. And I'm always covering stuff when I'm not on with guests there in the nights. And they get emailed out to the members. So it's going and pretty good. And the website as well. The chat's up on the website. If folks want to log in there, it's for the public. So you just got to log in as a guest user, or you can use your Twitter or Facebook account if you haven't, and just leave links. It is an information war, and people need information. So whatever you have, just shoot it up there. It's great. And we're over on the Crass Files chat on Telegram. We're on BitChute and all these. And so it's all connected now to that great website, and it's running pretty smoothly. We're okay at the moment. We're keeping everything up and going. A lot of links maybe broken, and a lot of videos gone. I've noticed this doing some of my podcasts where I've been researching information and just stuff is gone. Google is just taking it all away. So save your information, keep it in data sticks, keep it on hard drives, because I've been putting up some heavy information lately. Look at 9/11 and things, and I found a lot of infos up on the Crass Files, but the links are broken and a lot of stuff's gone. YouTube has taken everything out. All these videos are gone now, but we would look for them on other channels and platforms, possibly. But amazing, just like Canada and what they're trying to do here. They're trying to censor us, and just it really is the Ministry of Truth, I feel, out of the pages of 1984. Orwell would be turning in his grave if he looked at Australia now and the what we're up against. We are running against a very well-oiled and slick and monstrous and ghastly, really soulless machine whose ultimate goal is transhumanism. And so we keep moving forward and doing the best we can. Some interesting things, Nadine, have popped up. Did you want to talk about this very incredible case with Dazelle? Because some people are asking about this, and I just didn't have enough time to kind of look into it with the hospital stuff. I think this is happening to a few people, and I've seen some videos, and you're just thinking this couldn't be happening to a child in Australia, but this is what we're going through, and it's still happening. This discrimination is still going on. Perhaps you could start there and explain what's going on with this child, and welcome back on deck to the Kraz train.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Thanks
on
for
board.
Back. We've both been having a few little moments of not being able to catch up. So it's nice to finally feel good and back. a lot's been going on, and Newcastle once again is being highlighted with Giselle's case. So she's, well, currently, as of yesterday, she went home from the John Hunter Hospital in Newcastle. She'd been there hoping to have a lung transplant. She's 13 years old and has been quite ill for several years. And she had suffered from, I believe, leukemia, and had come good from that, and she had needed a bone marrow transplant, which they did. And from that, she now has this problem where she's got a graft versus host disease. So basically the bone marrow that she received is not being accepted by her lungs. So her lungs are failing, and it's come about that the medication that she's been given to try and, you know, assist her lungs from completely being destroyed isn't really working. And her mother discovered that a TGA drug that had been approved in the November of 2021 would be a life-saving drug. And when presented to the doctors in the hospital, they had never heard of it. But in retrospect to that, they were denying her of surgery because she hadn't taken two COVID jabs and the boosters. So they told her that she required four COVID vaccinations in order to have the lung transplant. Now, we know there is nowhere stated in any of our laws with COVID or anything else that would be a prerequisite for surgery. This is the hospital's choice that they're making, is that it would be better for her. But obviously with the plethora of health problems that she has, she's at such a risk of having complications from having the COVID shots that she solely chose not to have them. She just knew that in her gut she didn't want them. She'd taken all these drugs, done all the things that she was required to be well, but this was one thing that she just didn't want to do. So as it stands, she has left the hospital as of yesterday and gone home. And I'll explain a little bit about that as well. But she's still in a position where this TGA-approved drug that could help her has still not been given to her, and she still isn't on the list for a double lung transplant. So she's still, you know, she's not in the clear, you know what I mean? Like, she might have gone home and got out of the hospital, but she still is no better for that action. What we believe has happened at the hospital, somebody filmed her aunt trying to enter the hospital.
I saw that.
And in that, the lady at the desk is saying that from orders above, they can't say that this young girl is there for fear of the media. So, I mean, this is where the media play a really important part in this. They do need to be notified. They do need to be present to bring this to the light of everyone in the community, to make a change, because I think that if, you know, for example, politicians, et cetera, knew that this was happening, there would be probably more of a push for this to be resolved and save the young girl's life. So currently in our area, we're having a vigil tomorrow at the John Hunter Hospital from 12 o'clock, 12 noon tomorrow, and that will be in front of the hospital, and it's going to be a silent prayer vigil for her. Even though she's not there, it's still to have that presence at the hospital, because we believe that she has been allowed to go home to avoid tomorrow having people come. However, that is still going to go ahead regardless. There's a couple of other things that have come about to practically help the family, and I have sent you those links, Adam, that you can share with the members. So there is a GoFundMe to help support the family, because they are not very wealthy at all, and all of these things are going to impact their, obviously, their daily life and their financial situation. So there's a GoFundMe set up, and there's also a meal train that's been set up as well. And I believe that the Cali out in Singleton are having a big part of that. So there's a link to that that I've sent you as well. And basically people can cook meals for the family and deliver them to Singleton. So anyone in those areas or willing to travel to Singleton, that would be most welcome. And on those links, it actually gives spaces where, like, time frames that you can that need to be filled for meals, etc. So I think practically that's a fabulous way forward. The more publicity this case gets, the better, and the more chance this young girl has to survive. I think that if nothing's done about this, she's not the only person being denied surgery. There's people leaving to go overseas every day because they're being denied life-saving surgery, or because of discrimination against their medical preferences of being vaccinated or not, yet they're quite happy to take the organs of non-vaccinated people to transplant into the vaccinated. So there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here, and definitely crimes against humanity. I mean, this is just appalling behaviour that we're seeing in our own country. And I know that Dazelle's case has gone international now, and other countries are looking on in absolute disbelief that, you know, this so-called lucky country is just treating its citizens with absolute contempt and complete disrespect. So it's really horrible. Obviously, that's going on. It's horrific. But I think that if we can all just be sharing her story around and getting it spread out, you know, publicly wherever it can, Dazelle will have more of a chance of surviving this, because her at the moment, it's really looking very grim for her. And it's just so devastatingly sad. And as a parent, myself and yourself, you do anything to save your child. And I really feel for her parents being in this situation, to not be getting the medical help that they need. So, yes, it's a very big one, and everyone's getting behind it. So hopefully being local, we can really make it quite impactful in getting her story out there and hopefully getting it to the right people that can stop this from going any further and hopefully save other people's lives as well.
Can you explain I watched the video with the aunt at the hospital when she was talking to administrators and stuff, and they were saying it's not coming from them, it's coming from somewhere else, and they mentioned the media. Can you explain that a little bit more with the media? Because I was watching a post was watching something, looking at some info recently from Cairns News, talking about how they're pushing back up there against council wanting to bring in a cashless thing, take away the cash, and a lot of people push back. When these councillors were questioned on this, they were saying that the decisions are being made not even within the council, the people that don't even represent the council. So this is something that I've been discussing for years. This is all part of Agenda 2030, and it's being pummeled through from overseas entities who have their tentacles into these countries, with the politicians just acting as puppets, to implement. You know, I mean, you don't go and vote for a prime minister or a politician. They're just puppets. That is the that is the game to you know, the prime ministers and the presidents thing, and that you go down every 3 years and vote for Liberal or Labour. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. We call them opposames, but people think they live in a democratic society and have free choice and free will, because they like the idea of having a president or politicians or prime ministers, because that, that makes them feel that they live in a democratic society here, and because they vote. But really, they're just puppets, puppets, and they have handlers, and that goes outside of this country to WHO, to the UN, to the IMF, you know, the World Economic Forum, all these big players and big bankers and international banking families, BlackRock, all the way, you know, Vanguard, all of these ones we know, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, the big banking families, all of this. And the Zionist banking elitists. So, you know, these puppets here, you know, ScoMo and all this, they're just ridiculous. They don't have control over anything. And we can see that clearly with this. So you have hospitals. I mean, this isn't even discrimination. I mean, to put a young child on the chopping block like this, based on absolutely nothing, as you said, the world is just going, what is happening in this country, you know? This is a child who needs care, and it's like, she hasn't had a certain amount of shots of the COVID jabs, which we all know now, completely. The whole planet should know now how dangerous things are and potentially deadly. But I was going to get you to cover what she meant there entirely by the media when she said that, because I watched the video, explain that a little bit, what she was saying with the media and the John Hunter Hospital in Newcastle.
Okay, so there's a little bit of a history with the John Hunter Hospital as well. What I'm understanding from this is that they don't want the media brought into this and being spotlighted. That is my understanding. However, the John Hunter Hospital has been flagged before by our community when Chase Walker-Stevens was basically abducted and taken to the hospital, and it was the last time his parents ever saw him for quite some time. And they, you know, they're under the watchful eye of people, and I think that, you know, when the media get involved, obviously it's going to put a very strong light on the practices involved in there. Now, I know the family have been very, very happy with the care they've received for their daughter, but when they're saying from above, it makes me question what has happened, because in Canberra recently, the Calvary Public Hospital was actually repossessed by the government, and it's now known as the North Canberra Hospital. Now, they were under a where they rent that land for X amount of time. And now the government have taken over this hospital, which, again, being Calvary, it means it's a religious hospital. There's this possession going on of getting rid of hospitals like that. So you do have to wonder where that authority is coming from to stop any information coming out. I mean, I don't know how they can stop a family from visiting family. Obviously, if you had several people coming in, inundating the hospital, wanting to go and see this child, it might be a bit of a different story. But my understanding would be that they really just are not wanting the media attention on this case, because it would show that they too are denying people of life-saving surgery. So, I think it can be that simple, to be honest. But we are seeing hospitals losing their authority as well. So,
this decision to not treat the child because she hasn't had a COVID vax jab?
Yes.
Do you know any idea, an inkling, where it came from, that decision? Did it come from just sterile old bastards in the boards up there that don't do anything but sit on their butts all day and get bored, or that some idiots made a decision like that?
My understanding that, I'm not exactly sure what the procedure is with transplants, but the young girl had a bone marrow, and they see that as a transplant, bone marrow transplant, and she didn't have to be, there was no requirement to be vaccinated for that. So to then say she needs to be vaccinated for lungs, it does make you question, well, what is the requirement of having a transplant within Australia post COVID. So, I've had a look and I can't find anything saying that you need it. They would like people to be vaccinated because they then see them a lower risk of infecting other patients in hospital. Because obviously if you're going to have a transplant, you're going to be in there for a little while in recovery. And, obviously that's a massive risk if you're not vaccinated, right? But then why not have the whole schedule while you're there? This is the ridiculousness of it, is there isn't anything that says that I can find. So it's quite iffy territory. And I think that, personally, I think the family need to get some legal representation and see what's going on there. And hopefully there would be someone out of the community that stood up over the last few years that could come forward and offer some advice there, because, ultimately, there's never been stated that you have to be vaccinated in order to have these surgeries. I don't understand why that is so, apart from just someone pushing their authority on them. I wish I knew the wiser, Adam, to be honest. I wish I knew why exactly, but it's territory that people are, it's very foreign. So as we're talking, I'm also looking up to see if there's any further information.
You can see, as well with the, I saw a Pauline Hanson video and Senator Malcolm Roberts questioning the Pfizer people. Mm-hmm. And I saw Pauline Hanson questioning this one that looked like the Golem from The Lord of the Rings, and another guy. Mm-hmm. via a Zoom thing or whatever, talking about trying to get them to sort of admit that the vaccines were made mandatory in Australia.
Mm. Good evening, everyone.
Oh, sorry.
And welcome to this.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry. My computer's talking.
Sounds good, actually. Picks it up well. No, I was... and it's probably distressing to a lot of people, but these Pfizer demons, they just keep maintaining that lie, that line that they never made it mandatory for anyone, and it wasn't. Mm. And at the end, I'm sorry, folks, but that's true. Mm. They never made it mandatory, even though people lost their jobs and they were told they have to get it to keep working, to work in the medical field or whatever it is. I have family that were told, go home or you get it. You know, I have friends. I know people who, and they needed to keep their job because they didn't want to lose their job, and they've got mortgages or whatever, I understand. But these filthy, disgusting demons, they knew what they were doing, and the judges were all set up for this as well. And this is the next fight, I think. And, you know, so Pauline may say, well, Australians disagree with you, but he's right. They didn't force you, and force is an attack on you. That is holding you down and putting it in your arm. But in a way, this is what we were talking about years ago. How do you define, you know, compulsory, mandatory, all of this stuff, you know? Because they did. They said it was mandatory. You have to get the jabs. And they really did. They just funneled the Australian people into getting these shots, you know, 150%. And people were manipulated and bullied and cornered and coerced into getting these shots. Otherwise, they were going to take their freedoms and their lives away and their jobs away and everything like this. And people panicked and everything. But at the end of the day, they never forced you. That could be coming under the WHO stuff, but they never forced us.
Yeah.
You had the opportunity to walk out of your job and say no. Like us, we all said no. And I understand people were in very difficult conditions and situations, but he is correct. And so with the questioning of these people, it's just like when ScoMo did the deal with the AstraZeneca guys, you know? And I remember that. And one of the AstraZeneca spokespeople said, you know, we cannot be made exempt. We can't be made liable. Mm-hmm. He said, if you bring these in and in 5 years, people start, they die or they get sick or whatever it is, it's not our problem. So you're taking them into your country and it's your risk, really. So we know the pharmaceutical corporations and companies, they're just wiping their hands with it. And as the damage and the deaths mount, and we said this last year, it's going to become overwhelming. It's going to be a tsunami of it, and it's going to become, even the media are starting to talk about it now. You can't hide it anymore. And this is what's happening. And now they're being questioned and they're being put under the gun and they're posing these questions, and it's only going to become more intense. But at the end of the day, will these pharmaceutical companies ever be held responsible for what they've done? We hope that we see that, and we hope we see one day that they all hang in the streets. I'd love to see that. But it's a sad thing that it's good to see Pauline and One Nation and these politicians up there questioning them. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm, and putting Pfizer under question, but they just simply don't care because they never made you. They never made you, and they never forced it into your arm. You did it to yourself.
They were clever in their...
They're very clever, and the judges did this as well, Nadine. Yeah. The judges did it in the case. I heard that judge, so-called Justice Beach Jones. Mm-hmm. In my book, all these judges are pedos. I don't care what anyone says, and they're all compromised, and they do what they're told. And he let those people go through that. We all watched it for weeks. And then he came in 5 minutes and threw it out the door. And one of the things he said was, but they didn't hold you down. That's assault. You know, they didn't hold you down and force that jab into your arm. That is assault. Then you've got a case. You did it. You chose to do it. You still had that choice, even if it was scary. And that's where they knew they would go. And that's the next battle, I think. And I knew this was coming.
Well, look, I mean, you know, in regards to the vaccinations for transplant recipients, the only state that has required COVID shots is Queensland, which I'd actually just forgotten about until I just quickly looked it up. But they're the only state that have said that they require two shots in order to have a transplant. So you wouldn't be staying in Queensland to... doing that, but they're the only state that has pushed that. No other state has done that at all. I mean, they definitely advise you to do it, like they're saying, please do it. But these are immune compromised people that before COVID, they were not supposed to have vaccines, remember? Pre-COVID, if you were immune compromised, You were not on that list. So I remember having people around me saying, "You're not vaccinated. I'm immune compromised. So you need to stay away from me if you're unwell," because they were relying on me to be jabbed in order to keep them healthy. And we know that's not the way it works. But then suddenly COVID comes along, and everyone that's immune compromised, they are now allowed to have every vaccine under the sun. What changed? What changed was this was now going to be a tool to control everyone. And as you said, no one was held down. Everyone says they were forced, but they weren't forced. They just didn't make the right decision, which was to say no. They did it because they were afraid.
Imagine if enough people, Nadine, when that happened at that critical moment, imagine if enough Australians, and I'm talking like half of Australia, stood up and said no. What are you going to do?
No.
And it's like facing a bully. It's like, well, I'm not getting it. They would have backed off.
We'd be in a very different situation.
We got it in large numbers. We panicked and we ran and we got it. Not us, but people and did, you know.
No, but you see, like, when we look at the councils and this sort of thing, like, the councils now are running like mini governments.
Dictatorships.
And they are. And I've, you know, of late been very involved in some pretty serious meetings with both Newcastle Council and Port Stephens Council, really based on their code of conduct that they are displaying upon their citizens. And these meetings have been pretty heavy. But also very productive, because I'm now starting to see the cracks that are formed and they're actually being showed outwardly. We've got the CEO of Newcastle under investigation. We've got the Lord Mayor that will probably be up on defamation charges. We've got another council with their own cracks forming. And this is because they are allowing people that are running for places in Parliament to be councillors, and it's all becoming enmeshed, and they are treating their jobs like a mini government in charge of their citizens and indoctrinating some pretty heavy propaganda, and it's just not gelling. And this is where I think, you know, we're really at a turning point, because the media are getting involved in this, and actually in a lot of these cases that I've been involved in, it's been the relationship of councillors with the media that have caught them out, because they're utilising the media to be advantageous for themselves, but it's actually shooting them in the foot because they're breaching codes of conduct left, right and centre. So, you know, we've had an MP that's just been stripped of his ministerial roles from the Premier, because, you know, he's got he's got issues with his family's involvement in property around the area, and so now he's lost his job. And you're looking and you're going, well, who are scum. These people, you know? When are they make up all these the rules scum. And it's very obvious they're breaching things, but they're there. And it's not until really the citizens start calling out and becoming familiar with exactly what they're actually meant to be
good
doing.
Good on the My Place people tuning. They've been doing wonderful work in Victoria too. Yeah, and I think you're right there. It really has. They have got away with murder, these councils, for so long now, and they've become so corrupt and filthy that they're just slops and they don't care anymore, and they've become complacent. And now, finally, in Australia, people are starting to see these disgusting, perverted slobs for who they really are, and they're criminals. So it's about time. Well,
look, they're censoring their own shires, people, and they're being called out on it. And as I said, you know, I mean, Like I've been really busy the last couple of months, having very intense meetings with these councils and with the CEO of Newcastle and the Lord Mayor of Port Stephens, and they, you know, it's absolutely insane what councillors are getting away with. I had one councillor tell me after he decided to pass a urgent motion to stop an event that I was hosting, which was hosting Naomi Cook and Steve Galvin to come to Newcastle and talk about 5G and smart cities. They decided after two months of our booking being placed that this councillor got wind of it, puts an urgent motion forward that these people are going against our values and they need to be stopped. We can't allow these people on our premises. So we got cancelled. And I had a phone call with one of the executive committee of the council there, and he said, look, you know, you're not doing anything illegal. I don't understand. I really don't understand why this has been passed, but this particular councillor really had an issue with you. Check the minutes and, you know, put forward to the council and mayor your thoughts and tell them what you've told me, which was that it's an educational workshop and it will actually, you know, go beautifully with your idea of a smart city and how we live side by side with them. So sure enough, the only person I heard from was the fellow that had put forward the motion to stop us. And the most interesting response was, his initial response to me was, do you live in Port Stephens? And I said, what has that got to do with me making a booking with you? Have I got to be a Port Stephens resident in order to make a booking? And he said, if you're not from Port Stephens, I'm not wasting my time talking to you.
And because he's God.
And I said, well, he's a
wanker, a dickhead. A dickhead.
And I just said, well, no, you passed the motion on such and such of day and blah, 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 motion number. I gave it to him and I said, I think you do need to talk to me, considering you passed this you put this urgent motion through. I would like to know how I have gone against your values. And I listed their values and how I actually aligned with their values. And anyway, he just said, well, you've made it very clear you're not from Port Stephens, so good day. And I thought, oh my God, who is this person? So I just rang the mayor and we had a wonderful conversation. And this councillor that had been extremely rude, he has been removed from council meeting by police for inappropriate behaviour. He has incited violence when people had meet the candidates at the beginning of the year, and having councillors leaving a building, or not councillors, MPs, potential MPs leaving a building in tears for what he incited. So long story short is I've got a great list of things that he's breached. And my booking, aside from that, he has shown what is wrong.
He's just making up his own rules.
He thinks he...
I think they're above the law.
He actually... Oh, look, this is a funny story, but he tried to pass a motion that Raymond Terrace could no longer be called Ray Tay by people because it was insulting to the people that live there.
So, where do these wankers come from?
How's he going to man that? Like, from Crikey. People calling it Ray Tay. I mean, my goodness. But look, you know, that was one example. And then you know, I met with the CEO of Newcastle in regard to their condoms and lube in libraries.
I'll explain that then.
And so his information.
A lot of the listeners won't know that. Will think you're joking there.
No,
we're not joking.
No, it's very, very serious. A friend of mine had gone into Lambton Library and had found a box of condoms and lube sitting in the cooking section and took a photo.
That's what you need in a public library, isn't it, Nadine? Condoms and lube.
Yeah. So, you know, the reasoning behind it is a very interesting. So I took it upon myself to then go to my library in Mayfield, and I found the same. And it was in the cooking section. Thank goodness it wasn't near the kids' section. However, my son saw it because at the time, don't judge us, but we were watching MasterChef, and he was quite interested in cookbooks. So we're there, and he's like, oh, what's this? And I'm like, yeah, something that shouldn't be in the library. And he goes, what are you doing? And I picked up the box, and I actually told him that this is what a man and a woman use to not have babies. I just kept it really simple. I didn't want to get into any further discussion because I really don't believe that it's the right time for him to have that discussion. And I shouldn't be forced into it by someone else's opinion by putting it there, forcing me to have a discussion with my child that I don't feel is the right time. However, I took the box up to the counter, the front desk. They had a bin there. I binned it. And I said, I really don't think this is appropriate in the library. And the two women were quite shocked. And then I continued to go and borrow some books. And then we, you know, we wrote a letter to the councillors, the Lord Mayor and the CEO. And the CEO actually contacted us, myself and two other people, and said that he would be happy to meet with us and have a meeting about it. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a tickle. So in the meeting, his reasoning for these items to be in the library was that the library had decided back in November last year, 2022, that there had been an increase of teenage pregnancies between the ages of 12 and 19 in the Hunter area, and that this was going to be their way of reducing pregnancies by providing free condoms and lube in the library. Now, we said, well, how do children know, because they are children, from under 14 in Australia, the legal age of consent for heterosexual sex is 14, and for, you know, gay sex is 16. So they're promoting illegal sex, basically, for underage minors between 12 and 14, and then the rest. So we said, how do these children know that they can access this? And he didn't have an answer because it's not promoted. There's no information anywhere to say this is what the library are doing. And furthermore, the company that are providing these free products is a company called Akon, and Akon is a network that was set up for the LGBTQ plus community, and their focus is on AIDS. So nothing to do with teenage pregnancy at all. And the statistics that he'd given us was an old paper, I think from 2019, So not even relevant to 2023. When you looked at the statistics of teenage pregnancy in the area, they were actually declined. So it really, that information wasn't correct at all. One thing that he did realise was that, yes, they probably aren't very appropriate in a cooking section. We had to, like I said, well, maybe put them in the toilet or somewhere more appropriate and start advertising that this is what you've got, because what is your demographic in a library? You'll probably find he couldn't answer that question either, because he didn't know the demographic that visited the libraries. We requested that they put them in all the bathrooms around Newcastle, all the public bathrooms for people to access, and along with that to put pads and tampons for women, considering they were going down that path of, you know, sex, sexual things and et cetera, and may as well teach children the whole lot. But one thing that was quite confusing too is that there was no information that went with these. So even, you know, why not provide sex education if you're going to go down this route? It was very, very eye-opening that he really had no idea as to why the library had chosen to do this. But on further investigation, it was lining up with the AIDS month in November or some Pride month, something, because to be honest, I feel like that community have bloody Pride month every month. And I'm just really sick and tired of the attention that they get all the time when us heterosexual people are just being discriminated against every step of the way. And having women just treated so badly in the midst of it all. So they brought it in this month of where they were going to be celebrating AIDS month and Pride and et cetera. So it had been there since November. So it's quite some time, but nobody in the community knew it was there. And then off the cuff of that, we also get the drag queen story time going with that as well. So at the moment, we have a few things that obviously Newcastle Council have got a lot to answer for, but we have been, you know, working really hard at looking at how this breaches child protection. And it does on very many counts. All of this, the drag queen, the condoms and lube. When you ask someone what lube's in the library for, it was a very uncomfortable situation, because he had to say that lube was for pleasure, a pleasurable experience. So that in itself is very concerning. That we're you know, really encouraging young children to do that, underage children. We have a real problem there. And I think this is where our councils are crossing way too many lines, that it's becoming a very slippery slope for them. And as we expressed to him, our concern is what's going to happen with them when they realize that while they're being woke, which is basically what it is, trying to be all, you know, cool and embracing of their community, no matter what age, sex, gender, etc., they're crossing so many lines and so many breaches that it's becoming so washed out that they don't even know what they're doing anymore. And this is where us as citizens, we need to educate ourselves. We need to research. We need to look at their roles, what the constitution, the code of conduct, all of those things are, to be holding them accountable. And so when there's things like this that are happening, we can pinpoint you know, what legislation, what Child Protection Act are they going against? Because if you've got a council advocating for wanting to prevent, excuse me, teenage pregnancy from 12-year-olds, they would have been safer to have said from 15 to 19, not 12 to 19. I mean, in that, they've already shot themselves in the foot that they're, in, you know, looking at the underage area. So, yeah, look, it, you know, it's been a big couple of months in dealing with all these different facets, and we actually do have another drag queen story time coming up.
They don't stop.
No, they don't. And I like our, yeah, look, Newcastle, it's just, it's not good. Like, you know, we've got the UN flag flying in our town. Our mayor has her finger in every single pie. She's getting money left, right and centre, and she has sold us out, and she'll stop at nothing, you know. But what we would like to do with the drag queen story time coming up in in August is to just be a presence there. We're not having a protest or anything like that. We're just going to be there to, you know, check it out, go and see what's going on, and definitely be, you know, quietly there in a vigil to, you know, show our, like, it's not, it's just not right. It really isn't right. And I don't know, you know, half the time you think, is it worth it being a presence? But it is, because even though they don't stop it, you know, at least they know people aren't happy. But I really do feel like our focus is councils currently, because they are really doing some bad stuff. And yeah, when it comes to looking at Dazelle's situation, this is where there are some really good councillors in your councils that aren't happy about things, and they really are looking for the community to come and talk to them. And I think this is where we just have to be really smart in our dealings with people, and find the ones that are really willing to help to, you know, make that change. And they can only do it knowing that they've got support. It would be really confronting when you've got, you know, 70% of your committee against what you're wanting to do. So I definitely think it's a way forward.
What's the mayor of Newcastle? Is it, how do you pronounce that?
Nuwatali
Nelms. Yeah. What do you expect? Labour. Communist. Communism. Yes, even if this dumb idiot doesn't even know. Most of them are just clueless. But yeah, communism. Communist. You've got a communist there in Newcastle. And
well, she's rattled because there's an MP that is calling out stuff that's going on there. And so now they're wanting to, you know, have an investigation into this MP because she's highlighting Newcastle Council. And so the MP's come back and said, well, I'm going to get you on defamation. So you're just sitting there like with your popcorn, basically going, what next? Like, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's sad to see people attacking one another. But this maybe has got to happen. Yeah. They've got to combust. So, and it's happening. And we have to just keep, you know, fight. It's not like one thing I've learned is, you know, through all of this is, you know, we've got smart cities, we've got wind farms, we've got, you know, people not allowing us to book in because they think we're conspiracy theorists and they're trying to censor us. And then you've got condoms and lube and drag queens. So you pick something that you feel passionate about, right? You don't have to do, maybe you're passionate about all of them, which I am too, but pick something that you can, in a team of people, and just work on one thing. Like, each team have something, and things start happening. It just starts happening, because you can't have the same people doing all the work. You can't, like, I don't want to be seen on every single issue going to council. Oh, now there's this and there's that. They're going to go, oh, bloody Nadine, she's back again. You know what I mean? You just look like a nutcase as well. But you need, this is where we just got to activate. We just keep needing to activate our communities in doing those processes. And some people will say, what a load of rubbish. That's fine. Tell me what another way to do things. I mean, this for me seems to be working right now. I'm open to anything, but I think we're starting to see cracks, and it's because we're all starting to work harder and smarter. And, you know, it's not just about waving a flag at a rally and a placard. This is actually getting into some dirty work. You know what I mean? Like, really, yeah, using your skills and seeing what you can do, and just remembering they're people just like us. We're all people doing what we think's all right. Some know that they're not doing the right thing, but we just have to be respectful in our dealings, is what I'm saying, because we want to be able to continue being able to speak to the people that are in these roles. So, yeah, look, it's been a very interesting time here, and there's still things going on. There's still more meetings to be had. So, yeah, but, you know, obviously going back to the very start of this, at the moment, you know, we're going to really focus on Dizelle, and hoping that, you know, I'm really hope that the media are there tomorrow to really highlight this injustice that's happening, not just to Dizelle, but many, many Australians all over the country, that it's just disgraceful. Like, I would never have in my wildest dreams imagined to live in such a suppressed country. It's just horrible to think that this is happening. And this is where you got to feel really grateful for your health, you know, that you're not needing to do this yourself, because to be facing death like that at such a young age is, yeah, it's unfathomable, really, isn't it?
Terrible. Unbelievable. Yeah. But we would expect it from a satanic system. And, yeah, it is unbelievable. And so we'll find out more on that, and if there's any more links you want me to put into the podcast description, and I can add them in, of course, when I put this up. And a couple of little things here. One thing that you mentioned there, and another little good information before we finish up tonight. Yeah, I was watching. I couldn't sleep last night, and I was just watching sort of a part. One and two sort of documentary on the ADHTV, which is Alan Jones' channel, and they were exposing the wind farms in Chulumbin. They're saying it's the new Franklin. Yeah. So this is the new Franklin Dam. So this is these are untouched, and I'm talking prehistoric tropical old growth forests in far north Queensland, and this area is called Chulumbin, and I mean, this is the native animals that they were showing in here, and I mean, you're just gobsmacked. And this borders into the wet tropics and World Heritage listed forests here in Australia. I mean, this is a national treasure, and this buffoon, this stupid fucking idiot, Anastasia Palaszczuk. I mean, this woman, I honestly think the people of Queensland need to peacefully, all of them, Every single person in Queensland needs to get to the state parliament and demand that she leave. And I really do. Mm. And I don't think anybody has to be violent. I think that the people of Queensland need to get this menace, because that's what she is, out of those doors and onto the street and remove them. Because I just couldn't believe this documentary and what I was seeing there. I mean, you can't believe. And the guy's saying that this wind farm industry is run by cowboys. And you can't believe in this wet tropics area, they're just smashing and bulldozing and destroying this place. They're just smashing it to bits. You should see the scratch. And they've got these cliff faces and edges where they're just throwing all the mangled trees and destruction off the edge and just throwing it into the gullies, and it's leaving a mess everywhere. I've seen other videos that you put up, or other information that you put up as well on the Facebook page, where they've just abandoned projects, and the mess that this is making with these wind farms, that is just an absolute total destruction to World Heritage Area, for absolutely no reason, and no one wants it. And she's up there gloating, saying that Queenslanders need to be built a platform up there. That's what she's saying. And it looks like a big mine. And she's saying that we could build a platform for Queensland families to go up and just marvel at her brilliance and how wonderful this fat, disgusting pig is. And Anastasia, what a wonderful job you've done. You've just destroyed the most magnificent last remaining old growth forest on planet Earth that is untouched in all of history. I mean, it's probably the most magnificent place left on this earth, and you've just bulldozed it, and now you're telling us all we should be proud of it for your wind farms that nobody wants, and it's all a failure and it's all a con. And I'm just sitting there watching this and looking at this information, and I think the people have to come in on this and stop it. This has to be stopped, because that is ghastly what that maniac is doing.
There's so much information showing that all these so-called renewables are not,
it's not renewable at all. Like, but they're destroying World Heritage rainforest.
A wind turbine is run off lithium.
It's disgusting.
Batteries. So, you know, they want to have lithium plants in the Hunter to service
there
the
wind
farms.
There you go. It's like the 5G, Nene, the towers and the techs going everywhere, see?
Exactly. And they're telling us, like, oh, coal's bad, but
this is okay.
Like, yeah, but this is okay. I had someone recently tell me, oh, because I'd commented on Chris Minns's site, and this girl starts ranting at me, telling me, but wind farms are renewable and they recycle and blah, like, and everyone's putting up, like, videos. That's not true. They're not true. Like, and, oh, lithium's fine. I'm like, oh, what earth is this person living on? I mean, they have been sold.
It's the minerals, Nadine, to make the batteries, though. It's like the car batteries for the electric cars, and all these scumbags and politicians and people that are pushing this, they're all in that business, because we've got huge reserves here in Australia, and they're going to pull all that out of the ground.
Yep, and it all goes into landfill.
They're going to make money off it. That's why it's a massive moneymaker.
Yep.
Electric cars and this. And those wind turbines in Europe, and we know in Holland, animals are dying and extremely distressed around them. Absolutely. And farmers have said they've heard the animals screaming in the night near these things.
Yep.
You know? Yep. And it's like this infrared stuff. It's a form of ultrasound too, from what I know. So it's extremely dangerous, and it's stuffing up even the sea animals and whales and dolphins and everything. This is like an ultrasound type of technology is dangerous.
As you know, we've got the, you know, going all the way down our coast is the migration of whales and et cetera, and they're going to, like, be heavily implicated. Like, in the Port Stephens area in the mid-north coast, their primary tourism is based on the ocean. Taking people out on boats, looking at all the beautiful marine life, watching the whales migrate, dolphins, all of those things will disappear by doing this, all in the eye of climate change. And this is the hypocrisy of it. If they cared one iota about the earth, why would you be destroying it
order
to...
They're making money and they're scamming the public to think that they're saving it. They're just horrid.
I mean... we've got the Defence Force here in Williamtown next to the airport, and now they're you know, up in arms about the wind farms because it's actually going to interfere their flight paths, right? When they're practicing with the fighter jets and all that sort of stuff. So it's been said that they'll move them further out in order to cater for the ADF. But the ADF aren't happy with that. So I'm really hoping for once we have the Australian Defence Force on our
and
side.
It's a massive plan too, I was seeing in the documentary, Nim, because they're massive things. Have you seen the trucks that carry these turbines? And they've got to get them, they've got to create roads in all our beautiful World Heritage areas and just mangle it up to get them in.
We've got turbines being held down the road in Kooragang near the coal. And they're telling the public that they're for inland, Dubbo. But they haven't got the trucks to take them out yet. Which, look, I'm not going to say I don't think that they're lying on that because they are putting them out there too. And this isn't meant to start until 2030. So, out here. But, you know, there's time.
Stop this madness.
Stop it, because what the problem we've got here in Newcastle is where there's heavily Labor indoctrinated, you know, system. And so they're all for it. They're, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. But then when you start talking to them about the lithium and the, you know, how it's not renewable, and then you start talking about just the EMFs and what it's going to do, like, they all start, what are you talking about? And I think, how was that not in
there? Can they be that dumb? Or they just don't want to see it, because, as I said,
I don't think they want to see it. People,
it's the same with the 5G, Nim. They put the towers up, and now we're getting all the stuff on top of buildings. It's going everywhere. And now with the battery cars, the electric cars, they're putting these charging stations everywhere. And now with the wind farms, as you said, they're putting the chargers everywhere to run the things. You shake your head. It's not just the one thing. It's so much.
It's basically like a steam train has come through and just thrown everything at us.
I just can't believe it. I'm shocked.
And it's like, that's where I'm like, you've got to have a team, teams of people working on each thing, because it's too much for, you know, like when I was with the AVN, at least that was just vaccinations, right? You're able to channel in on that. But I've always had an interest on everything. So now I'm like,
crikeys.
what are you, but I've got great people around me that we can focus on things and get them done well. And there might be, you know, the drag queens thing still sitting on the side to get some councillors more activated in, you know, pushing that to stop. We've got, you know, other things happening. So it's like, it's all moving and it's positive, but you just have to get people activated. And I guess this is where, like, you know, in your own community, I know my place sort of brought all this, like, little, you know, have your food and security and people that are willing to go and, you know, work on council things, people that just want to do health and wellness, that sort of thing. And other areas have gone, well, we're going to do something similar like that, but we don't want to be my place. We just want to be our own. And that's fine. Whatever you do, just do something. You know, do something. And it's great. We've got that great newspaper now, The Light, that everyone can get and distribute, so people can start reading, like, alternative news. It's just brilliant, super cheap, particularly if you, a group of you, buy, you know, hundreds of copies. But wherever you go, you can just be dropping these papers around. And people in the community really don't, you know, the ones that have never really thought too much, they start picking this stuff up. And I'm seeing more and more people now just really like going, oh my God, enough's enough. Like, this is insane. And particularly the older people, I just wish that we had more younger people, you know, people in their 20s, that they've just become so used to all this technology, they don't see anything wrong with it. And they've been so indoctrinated with the Climate Change Act and, you know, coolness of that, that they've really been indoctrinated into thinking all of this is like okay. So I'd like to see more of that age group
waking up now, because it worries you, doesn't it? You think about what is going to happen in generations when people have just forgotten, and they think that all this is because normal.
You know, we've got people in their 30s, obviously 40, but the majority of things you are involved in now, it's your older people in their 60s.
That's
70s,
why they're killing them off then with the jabs.
Because they can think.
They want to get rid of them.
Like, yeah. Of
and us in the middle, we're the pain in the asses.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're the pain in the ass because we've had a taste.
We know. Yeah, we're not young and we're not old. I've always said that.
We know what it was like to not have mobile phones and computers, and we were happy.
We're all the ones doing the websites and the information. There's a lot of us. Yeah, and they don't like it. Yeah.
We've had to become tech savvy.
Yeah, no, and we didn't get their jabs. We're in between.
Yeah.
We're like the Generation X's and, you know, but the baby boomers and a lot of oldies, they got the jabs too, you know, and a lot of them have been killed off in the nursing homes and here, and then a lot of young people coming through the schools. You know, I was talking about this. We know an Italian family, and she was saying, the mum was saying, I don't want to say what school, but the daughter goes to a high school, and she said that the other week, they divided the class into two groups, those who believe in climate change and those who do not. And the girl I know, she's great. Like, she's really awake and aware. She was the only one to stand in not. And then all of the class stood on the other side, and they were saying, come on, come over here, you know. And she stood her ground. She's great. She said, you know, how do you know? How do you know you're not being lied to and all of this? And then the teacher dismantled it and ignored it all. But I thought that was unbelievable, that that's what's going on in our public schools, that teachers are making kids separate in a class of who believes our nonsense and, you know, draconian bullshit, and who doesn't? Yeah. Oh, you don't? Oh, well, then let's look at this one then, standing in the corner by themselves. You know, let's isolate them from society and the schooling system. So I found that outrageous that they're doing that, teachers, and that's what's happening. And if this continues, young kids who are coming up within the schooling system, which is the Ministry of Truth now, are going to think that all of this that we're discussing is normal, and in the future they won't have a clue of the life that we had prior to all of this. They think that that is all normal, and that is not going to be a normal way to live at all. No. And it's scary. So that's why we have to keep knocking and reminding people now. And I see a lot of younger people waking up. I do. I see in 20s and stuff, they've had enough too, and they can see it. And I think that's simply happening because the system itself, they're getting desperate to put through the Agenda 2030 system like they did for Agenda 21. Agenda 21, they've pushed at Agenda 2030, and it's all falling to pieces and apart at the seams. And now they're getting desperate to force it through. And as that happens, it just makes more people suspect. And I think they've had enough of it too, you know, and they're starting to see.
Yeah.
But we have to keep going for everybody, and just hoping that our information gets out there in the inboxes of lots of different age people, you know, and just keep talking and keep mixing it up and meeting people. And I think that's where we have to go as a nation, because otherwise we're going to lose it through – through these young people coming up, you know, they're just not going to see that this is not a normal way to live. It's I think the other info I just posted tonight from Senator Ralph Babette, he's saying the end of indemnity for Big Pharma. He says he introduced a bill to the Senate which aims to end the coercive practices of big pharmaceutical corporations in Australia. The bill is titled the Public Governance, Performance and Accountability Amendment, Vaccine Indemnity Bill 2023, and it will ensure no future indemnities are granted by the Commonwealth in relation to the use of vaccines. So people, I've put that up on the CRAS files, and there's the the link to click on the bill. But these are the guys we need to be supporting. We're lucky as a country that we're not as bad as Canada and some of these places yet, and New Zealand. We still have good people here fighting for us as well, and we, the people, need to support guys like this and get these kinds of things. And I know Clive Palmer's party and stuff, they wanted to introduce, and I know through One Nation, a Bill of Rights for Australia like the Americans have. I think we need that, Nadine, in Australia, because I think we need a kind of a Bill of Rights to protect us from this ever happening again, what they did to us and what Daniel Andrews did and what Berejiklian did. They're criminals, and what Michael Gunner did. This should never have happened in this country, but we didn't have any protection. And we don't have any rights here, really, like New Zealanders.
The Biosecurity Act.
And it's really scary.
Order, and that's where
we got screwed bad, Nina, and it's really worrying. And I was looking at the case of Vinnie Eastwood in New Zealand, how he's facing jail time just for being in a protest and exposing that. And I was reading through documents the other night on the podcast for the members, looking at these draconian bills in Australia that are stopping us from even having a protest or attending protests, and how these bills are sort of saying one thing, but they're so deep that you don't know what they really mean. And so we're being denied, we're going to be denied from even having public events and turning up to protests. You'll just be simply arrested and taken away. And this is Australia and New Zealand. It's happening in Canada as well. And not only that, they're trying to implement new measures to silence us online and censorship things through Albanese. So we can see that they're becoming desperate and many, many people are starting. That's waking them up. So we've talked about this a lot, that the system itself is forcing a wake-up. And I think that's what we need. We need that big wake-up call to wake people the hell up and get up and get on deck here, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, as strange as it is, they're doing the job for us.
They're doing the job for us.
You know, we just have to go, see? You know, I mean, all the memes now that, you know, you thought I was a conspiracy theorist, but it's all coming true. And, I mean, you know, you don't want to shove that in people's faces, but at the same time, it's true. You know, like, people can't deny that now. Like, they can see, all right, yes, this is all happening. You're not actually crazy, whether they want to admit that or not. But it is showing it, and it is, yeah. It is what it is now. You can't deny it. So, I mean, I'm grateful that they're showing their asses, basically, to make our job easier.
Yeah, and they're desperate fools, and but, you know, desperate cowards and liars. Mm-hmm. They simply won't. They don't have anywhere else to go. Their lies are running out of steam. People are seeing them for what they are now. They're sick of the lies. Albanese lied through his teeth. You know, he's just an absolute liar. And now what he's trying to do is absolutely disgusting. The Voice, the mass immigration, the climate change con. He's just a lost cause. He's making a fool of himself. They all are. And more people are seeing it. But these desperate fools, they're very highly compromised. And we all know that. We know they're compromised and they have a mission to fulfill for their Freemason pals who are running all the, you know, the puppets on the string, and they need to do it or they shift them around, you know. You know, it's like a lot of these politicians and premiers. They did this terrible stuff during COVID and then they just got these different portfolios and switched over here, depending on how highly compromised they are. And what level is what they're prepared to do and how vicious they will be, you know. But we have to be prepared for this system to get nasty, and we have to be prepared for this storm, because they're not going to give up without a fight. As more people wake up and they become more desperate to ram it through, they're going to become ugly, and they're going to start like now showing their true selves. Whereas before they've been there, but we just didn't see it as a population, you know. So it's been riding along with us all along, and now people are thinking, what the hell, you know, like, I put my faith and my trust and everything in these people, and now they've bitten me in the throat, you know, like a wild dog. And that's the system, yes, because now it's being exposed. And and the drag queens are a perfect example of that. They're coming out in the middle of the day like the Cenobites, and they're trying to grab children in the middle of in the middle of the day in our communities, in public spaces, you know. So they are desperate. They are desperate and they're acting out. They're lashing out. They know their time's coming to an end and they know they don't have much time left. And you're either on our side or you're gone. And they're going down. They're going down because you can't stop it. It's becoming overwhelming now. And people aren't going to stop. And I think our voices are becoming louder and louder. So, as you said, get the popcorn, buckle up, and get involved any way that you can. And let us know. Let us know. Let me see here on your page, just to let people know, just with this particular event, the Silent Vigil and Prayers for Dazelle is a peaceful and silent vigil, and this is outside the hospital. Please be respectful and do not disrupt hospital operations. This is August 5th, which is tomorrow, Saturday, 12 p.m., John Hunter Hospital, Lookout Road, New Lambton Heights, New South Wales. So I know we have a lot of listeners in Australia. If you are there, why not go along? And just be there and do whatever you feel you're good at. That's what I say. If you just want to go to something like this or whatever, or contact us, or you need help out there, whatever it is, we're all doing whatever we can with whatever we can. You know, we're doing this, but people are doing a million and one different things, so that's a really good thing. This will, and I think this is a good idea because it's a silent vigil, and it just shows the hospital and the people who made this decision or were handed down this decision that people are there. And if they're worried about any kind of media getting involved in this, guess what? They already are. The alternative media is already involved with this, and I've seen it all over social media, so I don't know what they're worried about because the alternative media are now bigger than the mainstream media. And so they should be very concerned with this because it's now gone all over the world. And what's going to happen? It's going to get picked up on the big international circuits, whether you like them or not. Under Mike Adams and these people, they pick up everything and they're constantly watching Australia. And when they see a case like this, they'll share it and it'll just go viral. So this hospital needs to be very careful, as you said there, John Hunter Hospital. This is just a dreadful and terrible and unnecessary torture of human life. It's absolutely sad. And there's no need for them to be doing this. There's no need for it whatsoever. So, you know, they this is a good idea for people to just go and be there, I think, you know, and a good way.
I think so.
Why not?
You know, being a quiet vigil, like, and this is something we all need to learn, is we don't have to yell and scream.
That's what they want because it's fear.
Yeah. Let the people that think it's great that a child's dying and will probably lose their life if they don't get the treatment they need, let them yell and look like idiots, you know. Be peaceful for her, you know. It's this young child needs us, and we need to be peaceful for her, you know. She needs our prayers right now more than anything, you know. She needs our prayers, and she needs us to hold the line, you know. We need to hold that line strong to show that we will not take this, you know. This is unacceptable. And as Australians, we can't sit anymore just thinking someone else has sorted out. It'll be okay, you know. And we, you know, you get sick of saying that, but there are so many of us, like, activated now. We're just going to let all those other people know that are driving past and passing you in the shop that, you know, these things are not okay. You know, we can't be letting this happen anymore. It's not right. So, yeah, I'll keep you updated with tomorrow, and I'll take a few videos and share them on social media and share them to you so you can share them with, you know, the members and followers of the Kras Files so they can see what's going on. But, yeah, you know, please keep us all in your prayers tomorrow at midday and keep Dazelle in your prayers because, she needs everything right now, this poor little girl. But I do believe she's put out a little post tonight, a video, so I haven't had a chance to watch it. It's happened while we've been talking, so it'll be interesting to see what she has to say anyway. But, Thanks so much for having me back on, Adam.
All good.
As I said, it's all been just timing for us of late. So
I'm just posting an article on the Crass Files now for folks from George Christensen, Hands Off Online Free Speech. We're at 20,867 signed. So let's get to 50,000. I'll post that up with a link now as well tonight. So about that ridiculous Albanese communist Labor bill to attack our free speech online, another important front, as well as the WHO treaties and, you know, the pandemic treaties, where we've got spot fires of tyranny everywhere, as I labelled the last podcast, Nene, they're everywhere. But we just have to keep putting them out and keep exposing them, and we have to fight to the end and keep doing this. And there's more and more on deck now than there ever was before. I can't believe how strong the alternative media is now in Australia. It's threatening the mainstream media. They can't stand it, and it's only going to get more and more. It's absolutely wonderful. And we're just a small part of that, but it's awesome to be on deck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's really wonderful in that regard, what's happening in Australia. Like, that's when you can say you're proud to be Australian.
That's right. Mate. That's right. I think we've got that. Keep that going on. It's really cool. It's really good to see this popping up every day. So it's really good. We can't allow this to stand. These politicians, these Labor liberals, they don't represent us. We don't recognize them. They're traitors and they're running a company. And they're using us. And we need to get back to our roots and get rid of them. They're just traitors, communist traitors. They're disgusting. All of them are disgusting. Liberal, Labor, Greens, the same thing. And I went through this on a podcast that under ScoMo, the Liberals were trying to bring in an even worse bill to take our free speech away, but they didn't get it through at the time. So now Labor's doing it. And I was trying to explain to people on podcasts that they're the same party. People think that that it's a difference. There's no difference. And we've got to get this through to these people who go out their whole lives, I vote Liberal, I vote Labor, like there's a difference. There's no fucking difference. It's the same system. You're being scammed. We need to get rid of them. And we need to bring in One Nation and these other parties to sort of take their spot now as we work on our changes and changing things here. But Liberal and Labor and Greens, it's an absolute scam. You're not going to get anywhere with it. I vote Liberal. I vote Labor. My father voted Labor. Mm-hmm. My grandfather voted... How can we get people to understand it's the same fucking thing? I don't know. You're not getting anything new or different. Well, it's the same system.
Once upon a time, there was a bit of a difference.
Slight.
It was very slight, but it was, not much, but... It's still, if you're looking for differences, you could find something.
There's good people in there, Senator Antich but they're pushing him out.
Yeah.
And I think these guys should either go to One Nation. I think a bigger party should be formed here, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, look what they're doing to him, Rennick. They're pushing him out. That's disgusting,
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, he's up against it really in that party. But, they tried to have, the freedom parties come together under a banner of working together, but they just need to make one party, because when it comes to voting, whether you think it makes a difference or not, when you start separating your votes between, One Nation, United Australia Party or IMOP, or Liberal Democrats, it's just you're not getting anyone in. You've got to have one. You just got to have one party, really.
We've got good senators in there under One Nation and a lot of different parties, and we've got good senators under even Liberal. So there's good people in there, as I said before.
Absolutely, yeah. There are good people, not everyone's gone into politics to be evil. People have gone in there genuinely thinking they're going to make some change, and we're seeing those people. So that's really wonderful. But, we need to support them, as you said. We need to support these people massively, because without them there, we're lost, you know.
Yeah, we can't have that Trump thing where these politicians are going to save us. Yeah. We have to save ourselves. we have to do it ourselves. We have to change that picture. But we need these guys in government, because government's always going to be there for now anyway, to force that change.
They need to keep questioning. That's what we need, them asking the questions.
That's right. It'd be good to go to elections, Nadine, and have, you know, Liberal and One Nation, wouldn't it? And no more Greens and stuff like that. And you're like, or see some of these parties push in. But again, with the last elections, there was a good change. There was a good change in the last elections and in New South Wales. It wasn't big enough for now, but it's getting there. We saw with the last elections, and they did try to hide it, there's a lot of disillusioned people. They've had enough of the two-party and Green opposames, and they're starting to go elsewhere. And this needs to apply with everything, with the media, with the banking system, you know, with everything. We need to start doing it as a community, and we've talked about this a lot. So important times ahead anyway.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how we go with everything. And, yeah, we'll keep checking back in with each other and sharing info. So
you can update us on the next podcast about what went on, what happened with the event tomorrow, and fill us in on all the latest info. There's a lot happening in Newcastle. Jesus. It's unbelievable. These Lord Mayors, we got them in Sydney. They didn't do anything but just slurp on champagne and cut ribbons with scissors and walk around and wave here and wave there and slurp coffee all day. They don't do anything.
Well, you've got to come here. They're
Clover Moore. You know, the one that looks like the Cure singer, the singer from The Cure.
The thing is, they're all a little bit outdated.
They're drunk all the time. They don't do anything. Piss off. It's outdated. We don't need you.
Well, they were, say, 3 years in a committee and you should be gone. Out.
How long have they been there? Lord Clover Moore. It's like, what? I've got to call this disgrace, Lord? I don't think so. They don't do anything. They don't do anything for anybody.
I know.
They're all just actors, as I said, to make people think that they live in this great democratic society, when it's just rotten to the core because people refuse to see the truth and do anything about it. It's the people that have to roll and make the change. The change starts with us, all of us, and we do it together. Yeah. Otherwise, we won't get anything done. These people won't do anything. Yeah. It's ridiculous to rely on them to do anything. Yeah. And it's starting to happen, and I think it's going to become very, very intense. So we're in for some very, very incredible times, but also positive times. We're here for a reason and don't want people to get negative about it. It's going to be unbelievable. I can't even imagine what's coming next year as this intensifies. This year's been unbelievable, but next year's going to be really intense, and we keep here, we keep going. Just keep going. As I said, we've been here since 2015, and look, we're still here. We're not censored, not that I know of, or we have been, but we're still here. That's the important thing. Until they wipe us off the internet, then we'll start sending messages in bottles and carrier pigeons out or whatever we have to do. We'll do whatever we have to do to keep the information going, and that's just going to wake more people up. So they've got to be careful with their knee-jerk reactions here as well, the system. They want to maintain control and keep people asleep, right? You don't want to force a massive awakening, do you? Or do they? I guess we'll see. In the game of life. The game of life.
That's it.
It's a game show.
It's Monopoly.
It is. It's a movie set.
Which street are you going to land on?
Yep. Yeah. It's a movie set of our own doing. We're creating it. Let's change it. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. All right, we'll plug out tonight, Nene. Great chatting with you. I'll put your information up and contact anyway, and we will connect on the next one.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam. Look forward to seeing you next time.